you're going to learn how to intone the sung parts of the liturgy. Most of them are written, the music is written for them in the key of E, and they're written as melodies, and also you are given chords for them, so you can use a guitar or something else with them if you want. Also, you may do this not just in the key of E. I suggest that the key of E or the key of A are the two keys that are powerful to use with the Hebrew words to bring out the subtle harmonic overtones that are produced when you correctly sing these words on the generating tones or around the generating tones. The Hebrew words are preceded by a translation. For example, at the beginning in the pro-anaphora, when we begin, we do the Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel, which is a very ancient form of opening liturgy. But we translate it, Shema Yisrael, as hear and understand, because Shema means hear or understand or obey. And Israel means the one who struggles with God, the one who engages in sacred struggle with God. And so we say, hear and understand all ye who engage in sacred spiritual struggle, Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord Adonai Eloheinu is our God, the Master is our God. And we translate it as the divine source of all being is our God. Adonai Echad, God is one. We translate as God, humanity, and all beings are one. And this is the deep meaning of this phrase. Now, it is very important to vibrate your voice when you're speaking something like, hear and understand all ye who engage in sacred spiritual struggle. You don't just say, hear and understand all ye who engage. You say, hear and understand all ye who engage in sacred spiritual struggle. The divine source of all being is our God. God, humanity, and all beings are one. So you have to do it that way, because by vibrating with your voice and by putting it out, you're not singing, but you're intensifying the meaning, and you are inflecting the meaning in such a way as to bring it forth in a liturgical way. And then when you sing and you have a congregation, Shema Yisrael. And then they all know to go, Shema Yisrael. Although you'll be doing this by yourself at first, most of you, especially when you practice. When you sing, when you intone these words, then you really vibrate, and that will bring a power and energy to the people in the congregation and a power to the liturgy. Now, I'm going to sing for you all the parts in the key of E. Some of them do not have written music, and the parts can be memorized, and they can be done very simply. I want you to learn how to improvise. I want you to learn how to sing from your heart the Shema and the Kadosh and a few other parts. All the rest have to be memorized exactly. But when you intone, when you sing, you use a bell or something else that gives you the generating tone. In this case, it's the E, the letter E. This brings people's attention to the liturgy. And because the people have no pieces of paper they're looking at, and this is very important, they're listening to you and paying attention to you, they are involved in the liturgy. And that is what liturgy means, the people's work. So every place on your script for the liturgy where you see a little bell ringing, you've got to have some kind of a bell. In this case, this thing that produces an E is a little bar, a little tone bar. But for my tone of the A, I use a Tibetan bowl. You see. Now, you use whatever you like. You can even buy Sanctus bells, but from a Catholic supply store or something. But you've got to have them tuned to the note you're going to be singing from, or the basic generating tone of the series. Now, again, you will hear each time I go through this, I'm going to go through the liturgy once in the key of E and once in the key of A. The Shema and the Kadosh and some parts will be sung differently because I will improvise them each time. But I purify my heart and we lift up our hearts and so on. These parts and the consecration, the epiclesis and so on, will be a fixed melody which you have written. Now all this you need to memorize and you need to get the point and the spirit of how you do the Shema and so on, but it's up to you. So, the directions for the Proanaphora, you should have now your liturgy in front of you, the script for your liturgy. Start at the beginning of the part that says Proanaphora, where it says, Celebrant, please stand in the ancient orant position for the Shema. You're telling that to a congregation if you have a congregation, but for beginning and for practice, you're going to be by yourself, so you're going to just stand in the orant position. And then you're going to vibrate, and you don't need a tone for this. Hear and understand, all ye who engage in sacred spiritual struggle. The divine source of all being is our God. God, humanity, and all beings are one. Now you ring the bell, and you get your tone. And you're going to intone, if you have a congregation, you're going to intone it back to you. This first one, the Shema, is based on this generating tone, but it will be improvised. Shema Yisrael. And then if you have a congregation, they'll sing back, Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu. And they might sing back. And Adonai Echad. Then you change to the evocational mudra. And all these mudras are listed for you in the handbook. You need to learn these positions. You can give yourself a bell again if you need the tone. I purify my heart. And this is repeated if people are in a congregation. I purify my heart. The chalice of my heart with the flame of love divine. And then you assume the Naham Mudra. Amen. 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 You take your time with the Amen. It's a threefold Amen. And if you have a congregation, they will learn very quickly to do the Amen with you rather than repeating it. Very often they'll come in on the second Amen. Now from now on in the liturgy, I'm not going to go through every part of the liturgy. I'm just going to go through the sung parts. But from now on, I'm not going to leave a little space as though the congregation were singing back because I just want you to learn the melodies. The next melody you sing is in the offertory, and you stand in the orant position or tell a congregation to, and you give them the translation, which says, O eternal master, almighty and ever living, and so on. And here is the Hebrew. Adonai Elohim, El Shaddai Elohim, Abba Ima Elohim, Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Amen, and so on. Now, you can bring out the harmonics in these by pronouncing these in an extreme way. Eloheinu melech haolam, or Baruch atah Adonai, like this. And later on in the priesthood, we will work especially on that. Now, this has a melody you have to learn. So the sursum corda, the lifting up of the heart. You're elevating the chalice with both hands. And you intone. We lift up our hearts, and they repeat back, we awaken ourselves, we evoke the eternal flame of the Christ within, and then Amen, etc. When we get to the Sanctus, you can improvise. Kadosh, and they can repeat it. Kadosh, Kadosh, Adonai Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Mi Adir El HaKol. Mi Baruch El HaKol. Mi Gadol El HaKol. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. Now that is all up to you to improvise. You can do it all in one tone if you don't feel very talented. You can go, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But that's not very interesting for liturgy. You can always make a little thing, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabaoth. You can make a little change like that, but if you can get so you can sing, it's much better. And sing something not so complex that people can't repeat it, but that it's simple, and it's in a minor mode. The Epiclesis. Wherefore we call upon thee, and that's repeated if there's a congregation, O eternal Lord Christ, O Master Jesus, our High Priest, O arisen ones and masters, with all the host of heaven, pour out thy divine Spirit upon us, kindle the pure flame of our hearts within us, raise up the Christ within us, fill us with thy heavenly feast, and bless, sanctify, and consecrate all worlds, the planet, and all humanity, mystically united in these holy elements, and celebrate for all souls, and create anew within all souls the sacred mysteries of thine eternal body and blood. Amen, and so on. Now, when you do the Master's Prayer, you probably are best to intone it one line at a time so that people can tone back to you. You use the generating tone, and this is the way I usually do it. Our Father and Mother God, who art in heaven, may thy way be hallowed in every heart. May thine inner guidance be manifest in every soul. May thy good will be done in earth as it is in heaven, as above, so below, as within, so without, as in spirit, so in flesh. Grant us this day our spiritual sustenance, and release us from our debts, as we release those in our debt. And do not abandon us unto the test, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the rulership, and the power, and the eternal glory. Amen. And so on. Again, this part does not have music written for it. It is improvised. So the Sanctus, the Lord's Prayer, and the beginning, at the Offertory, and the Shema are all parts that you may choose how you do with them, but the parts that are written that have specific music that has to be followed are the lifting up of the heart and the basic consecration and another one or two parts, and then, of course, the Amen. So this is what it sounds like in the key of E. I'm going to give it to you now in the key of A, and it will be very much the same, except the improvised parts will sound different. I should also say, by the way, that the final blessings, the Lord will bless you and watch over you. You may speak just in English. If you want to, you can do them in Hebrew, but those are spoken. They are not sung and repeated. Starting again from the beginning of the pro-anaphora, in the orant position for the Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. I purify my heart, the chalice of my heart, with the flame of love divine. Amen. And so on. It is better for a man to sing in a higher voice than a lower voice. I could go, I purify my heart, the chalice of my heart, with the flame of love divine. But it lacks the intensity that the higher or more tenor part of the voice gives. So for both men and women, to sing a little bit in your high range and intoning a little bit in your high range, it gives a much better liturgical effect and much more power to your words. The offertory. Adonai Elohim, El Shaddai Elohim, Abba Ima Elohim, Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Amen, and so forth. The sursum corda is a given melody. We lift up our hearts, and then it's repeated. We awaken ourselves. We evoke the eternal flame of the Christ within. Amen. And so on. For the Sanctus, it's improvised. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Miadir el hakol, mi baruch el hakol, mi gadol el hakol. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. Amen. And so forth. The epiclesis, where the elements are consecrated, has a given melody that must be sung. Wherefore we call upon thee, and then it's repeated, etc., each line. O eternal Lord Christ, O Master Jesus, our High Priest, O arisen ones and masters, with all the host of heaven, pour out thy divine Spirit upon us. Kindle the pure flame of our hearts within us. Raise up the Christ within us. Fill us with thy heavenly feast. And bless, sanctify, and consecrate all worlds, the planet, and all humanity, mystically united in these holy elements. and celebrate for all souls, and create anew within all souls the sacred mysteries of thine eternal body and blood. Amen, etc. And then the Lord's Prayer is done at the end of the communion, the Master's Prayer, and that may be done again through improvisation, however you wish. And then at the end of the liturgy, you may simply speak the blessing, the Lord will bless you and watch over you, etc. Or you can go, Yevaraka Adonai V'yishmereka, and so on. And you could even, but don't intone it, because this is not something that the congregation does back to you. It's something you do to finalize and end the service. Now, there are a few very important points I want to make. The first is, in leading liturgy, and you must practice this by yourself on your own at first, you must learn how to vibrate very confidently and very powerfully. You have to use your voice as an instrument to transmit the holiness and the sanctity of what you are doing. Because if you don't have that, if you're Shema Israel and all that sort of thing, it's not sacred, it's not holy. The sacredness and holiness of what you do very much depends upon what you put out of yourself. And you have to hook yourself up and do it that way. The second thing is, when you speak, when you say the words, and there are very powerful words in this liturgy, you have to say them to milk the meaning out of them. Do this with everything you speak in liturgy. When you begin the epiclesis and the sanctus and all the other parts, you must, at the epiclesis, be calling down, be calling in, be invoking and evoking the presence. And then the sanctus, you are at the throne of God. In the epiclesis, ever-living Lord of life, we open our eyes to the glory of thy sacred, ever-present and indwelling reality. And we gather in consciousness with all thy host of awakened beings, invoking the overlighting presence of all thy great ones who serve the divine will and way, and who initiate and guide all nature and humanity through thy profound mysteries of interior transformation and spiritual evolution. Liturgy is like poetry. It is the most powerful epic poetry, though, that is ever used. Liturgy is like scripture. You have to vibrate it. You have to make it meaningful. You have to put your full heart and your understanding into it. As I've said, when you intone the intoned parts of the liturgy, which are the parts that key people to respond with you and to sing back and intone to you antiphonally, so that you sing it and they sing it and so on, you must especially vibrate. And it's especially helpful for you to be free on many of the melodies or many of the ways that the intonation is done, so that you can become confident and spontaneous in the way that you put out this vibration in your voice. Pronounce things carefully, speak them slowly and powerfully. Vibrate your voice in what you say and what you do. Do not be self-conscious. Get out of yourself. Be a priest. Be the one who is the mediator of divine healing and divine knowledge and divine light. So, when you speak in the liturgy, you need to coordinate this with movements. These movements we call mudras. And there are only about four or five of them, and they're very simple, but you need to get that choreography together. So, that's why you have to practice. You practice the positions you hold your hands in, and they will become natural and very simple for you eventually. And especially in this liturgy, this Eucharistic liturgy, This is very important, because this, along with fragrances that you use, the sounds that you use, the bell that you use, etc., brings the power and force of the liturgy to life. Now, as far as what you use for bells, I have a toning bar, I have a Tibetan bowl. Whatever you use, don't muffle it like that. If you sound a bell, don't stop it like that. Always let it ring itself out, or get very quiet before you do muffle it. That is a basic principle in this kind of liturgy. It's even the Tibetans and their Tibetan bowls, they always have an object or something in the bowl. And when once the bowl is sounded, the bowl was made with literally tens of thousands of prayers. Each time the bowl was pounded to get its shape, a prayer was said. And so it's a very sacred thing. And so whatever you use in your liturgy has to be sacred, and you have to not have it open for people to see or to touch or to get all kinds of vibration all over. So remember that about the things that you use in the liturgy. You keep them in a sacred way, and you keep them hidden away. Keep them clean. Wash them. And polish them. So these are some of the basics about how you perform the liturgy. You need to practice it. You need to practice speaking it and doing it as though you were doing it for a congregation. Consider your first congregation to be an invisible congregation, because every time that you do this sacred liturgy, an invisible congregation is present. Keep that in mind. That is why we speak of the hosts of heaven, and why we say at the very beginning that we gather in consciousness with all thy host of awakened beings, invoking the overlighting presence of all thy great ones who serve the divine will and way. That is called the epiclesis, the invocation, the evocation. You are bringing forth all the host. So whether there are human beings here or not, there are angelic beings and there are elemental beings, and there's all kinds of consciousness here when you perform a sacred mystery like this. So be aware that you are doing this for other psychic beings, other souls, other spiritual beings, and even though they don't answer back. And then when human beings do join you in this, you will have a very powerful kind of egregor, as we call it. You will have a very powerful temple to present to people, and people will be brought in, and they will have an experience that is powerful. Finally, I'd like to say that there are many elements to creating a sacred space. It's not just the old magician drawing his circle and saying a few words. You draw your circle. When you make your space sacred, if it's a place that's used for other purposes, you need to go around and do an asperges, and you need to clear and clarify this place and this area, and you need to purify it and make it into a holy space. And you add the vibration of the olfactory senses through the use of incense and fragrance. And the rose is a very spiritualizing fragrance that creates brainwaves that bring people into a spiritualized state. Amber is a very psychic fragrance that brings people into an awareness of things on more of a psychic state. And there are different things. You should check your fragrance manual and start experimenting with these fragrances and get yourself a repertoire of these things. The rose oil is basic. Rose is to fragrance as copper is to metal. It allows metals to be combined, just as rose allows fragrances to be combined. And learn your mudras and vibrate your words and prepare your space in a very sacred way. And you can have some kind of sacred music playing when people do come in and you do start to have a congregation, so that when people enter this place, they're going to be bowled over with the beauty and the sacredness of it through fragrance, through light, through sound, through the beauty of your altar, and through the power of how you present this liturgy. And this is how you will help people to make the divine connection within themselves and to generate that communion and to make the connection between their waking consciousness and their highest nature or their very high natural elements and so on. And this is healing. This is powerful. When you do this kind of a liturgy, you are doing a blessing that radiates out into all the world. You're like not just a spot of light. You're like a powerful lighthouse in the subtle worlds, in the invisible worlds. And every time you celebrate this kind of a liturgy, you are blessing the world and the earth and beings, not just human, but many worlds. It is way far more than you understand at this time. And as you progress in apostolic succession and begin to mine the power and the profundity of what you are doing in this ancient, venerable priesthood of the Master Jesus, Mar Yeshua, the priesthood of Melchizedek, you will begin to start to appreciate the power of this for human transformation, for healing, and so on and so forth. So develop yourself as a liturgist. Develop yourself, develop your voice, develop your sense of how to present, your sense of mudra. And this is what you need to start doing now at this time.